Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two, NBA on our brains and plenty to talk about. Not the least of which is Fred VanVleet with a new career high. Guy has played the most minutes in each of the last first two games that the Raptors have played down there. His importance to this team is self-evident. And yesterday was just a scoring machine. Usually facilitator first, scorer second. He was doing a little of and a lot of both yesterday. And I'll start it off by just asking the question, do we just still not give Toronto's Raptors their due? They're the defending NBA champions, and I know they lost Kawhi Leonard, but I'd say they're one of the five teams that you'd probably list as potential favorites to win an NBA championship, and I think they've proven it in the last couple of days.
Yeah, but those pesky Milwaukee Bucks are in the East too, though, and I think
they
that's
are
maybe what.
No,
and
they
you already,
are.
You already touched on the reason why Kawhi is no longer there, and that's unfair as it's turned out because the Raptors are 48-18 for crying out loud. I mean, that's excellent. That's not just eking into the playoffs. And the Miami Heat are not a bad team.
No, good
and,
team.
Yeah, and then the Raptors also beat the Lakers. So I guess the question becomes, when you're talking about the East, I don't care about the West for this particular exercise, though the Raptors have something for the Milwaukee Bucks. I would be interested to talk to an insider and find out how the Raptors match up with the Bucks. Now, of course, Giannis is a kind of a tough matchup for regardless of who you put him up against in the NBA because he's one of those unicorns. But for their taking care of their own business, and they seem like, you talked about this yesterday, or at least broached the subject, the Raptors seem like a workmanlike bunch of dudes with an excellent head coach who keeps them on the straight and narrow. Nick Nurse, I really like. And he, despite not having Kawhi, I have a feeling, if need be, reminds these guys to be a bunch of dirtbags and do whatever it takes because nobody thinks you can do it. That's just my – that's the feeling I get when I watch them play and when I watch him coach those guys. And VanVleet
epitomizes that. Yeah, you're right. They've got one of the more underrated stars in the NBA in Pascal Siakam, who I think is a star. The guy is – he very quietly goes about his business, but is a guy that's averaging close to 24 points and 8 rebounds. He defends. He's got size and length. He's a hell of a player. And his cred has increased with this year with him being kind of the focal point for that team.
And I still can't believe Fred VanVleet is doing what he's doing in the NBA. I just can't.
Hmm. Well, 36. I mean, I'll give you that.
He made it look 36. Easy yesterday, man.
Yeah,
he made
he
it
did.
Look really
well, when
easy.
You're hitting, when you're hitting shots, and what did he hit? Seven or eight? Yeah,
yes.
Seven threes. So he was, you know, when he's in that kind of rhythm, he's a hard guard.
But I guess I'll further my point and I suppose disparage Fred VanVleet's athleticism in the meantime, though. You just assume and think that every last player in the NBA is a greyhound. And most of them are. Mm. But Fred doesn't have that extra gear. He doesn't jump. He's turned himself into a really good shooter. He's obviously smart and doesn't turn it over a lot. And he's, well, his between the ears is his biggest weapon. But still, it's hard to believe that that translates to the absolute highest level, but it sure does. And he's done an amazing job.
He's a tenacious defender. You rarely see him go under a screen. He really defends. He's strong enough to defend bigger guys. Not all the time, but he can hold his own. He's got a great body for getting to the basket in that he's strong. And he was that way in college, and he's that way in the NBA. Now, right, it doesn't always equate to the college game, right, to the NBA, because you've got bigger, stronger, longer guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he can get to the basket. He can get a shot. And he does it with great change of pace. When you watch Fred VanVleet, to your point, if you don't think of the extra gear athleticism, here's what you think of with Fred VanVleet. You think of change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to fast, fast to slow to fast. He changes speeds extremely well, and he has an incredibly quick backstep. So he can sink you and then create space with a little bit of a step back. He's incredibly good at that, and now he's a good enough shooter that once he gets that little bit of space, he can bury the shot. And his handle has always been his greatest asset.
Right.
And the fact that he knows the game so exceedingly well, and he finds open guys. And he's never, ever, ever a distraction to the offense. His 36 yesterday was right in the commission and the fluidity of the offense. You never saw him doing anything like hunting his shot, trying to get his own. It just came to him. And that's one thing that Fred has always done exceedingly well. He's never, ever pushed beyond what he's needed to do. He just does the things that are necessary for a team to win. And that's why you go back and look at Fred VanVleet's plus minus. That's a big stat now in the NBA, what you're doing on the floor and your value on the floor. I mean, he's just a plus guy. And
by the way,
he plays on a very good team.
By the way, he got the steal on the Heat's last possession to try to tie the game. So, yeah.
I mean, he does everything that you can possibly need to win.
He does.
So,
impressive. Impressive. All right. Dennis, did you watch that Raptors game, Dennis?
You know I did. Now, that's one of the few NBA games that I watched the whole thing because – Fred played almost the whole game. I think he got
42.
Yeah,
42 minutes.
42 minutes.
I played all the time, and you mentioned him getting that steal. Watching the whole game, how many times did Fred get his hands on the ball, tipping it away, tying guys up, getting something on the ball on defense?
Yeah.
And with his 36 points, he was on his game shooting that three, seven of them. He would have had on close to 50 points if he had been on his game what he does best, getting to the rim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I bet he missed four or five going to the rim that he normally makes. So he just had one great game. And you said he didn't look for a shot or anything. They almost lost the game simply because he did not take his shot.
Right.
So,
yeah.
He became historically.
Great.
Excuse me,
what were you saying?
I was going to say, historically speaking, he became just the sixth player ever to score that many points with zero or 1 2-point field goals. He had one. The rest of them were threes and free throws, and he had 36.
Yeah, he didn't miss a free throw. So it was
to your point. Watching.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. Appreciate
you. Thanks, Dennis. And to Dennis's point, and Dennis is one of our best callers, just simply because he knows his sports so well. And to his point, that's one thing that they keep stats of at Wichita State. Defensively,
deflections.
How much How many deflections? How many touches? How many disruptions? Things of that nature. That's another thing that Fred has taken right to the next level. He's in the middle of everything defensively, and it doesn't always take a steal.
Yeah.
Sometimes a disruption on a 24-second shot clock can be just as important because the possessions are sped up so much in the NBA. He's just a look. He's going to make a tremendous amount of money after
yes,
this year.
Is.
This is a contract year.
Yeah.
He's going to make he deserves every cent of it. And he can pick and choose to some degree where he wants to go. That sets him up for the best chance to be competitive for the next 5-6 years. And I would bet you dollars to donuts that that's probably very important to him. Now, I know he loves Toronto, and I know that he loves that team, but business is business, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
We don't know how it's all going to play out. But you talk about a guy that has bet on himself, and that's his handle, bet on yourself, but has just continued to improve. I mean, I don't know, Shane. I mean, how many more guys would you take in front of him in the NBA right now as a point guard? I mean, would he be a top 15 point guard right now in the NBA? I think so.
I think you'd be crazy not to have him as one of the 15 best point guards.
I think that he's probably there. Now, I know that there's guys that can do different things, and I understand that. And I'm not trying to be, you know, overboard just because it's a guy that we know and a guy that we've watched and a guy who we've appreciated. But, I mean, I don't know. I watch a ton of NBA, and there are – I mean, you know, there's some guys that you'd take, you know, before him, and some guys maybe you'd take well before him. But I'll
right.
tell you what, from a day-to-day proposition of winning games, and that's ultimately all you care about is winning
right.
games.
Right. We're
dude's
talking
a
about
winner.
We're talking about aesthetics versus being a winning point guard.
Right.
And the latter is where Fred makes his money.
Totally. Totally.
Speaking of basketball, believe it or not, I watched almost all the Nuggets-Oklahoma City game yesterday afternoon.
Well, geez, nice to have you on the
uh-huh.
on the ball club.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Well, maybe they're mine now and not yours because you said, oh, they're not a championship ball club. I'll just watch the Avalanche.
No, they're not. And let me reiterate – they are not a championship ball club.
Okay.
The Nuggets are that next layer. And they're intriguing, but they're not – if you are going to say right now what, and you fill in the blank, Lakers, Clippers, maybe the Rockets just because of the 1-2 punch and they're playing pretty well, Raptors.
Bucks.
Would you put the Celtics maybe in that realm?
Maybe the Sixers, maybe the Celtics. Yeah.
Maybe. And then or maybe the Celtics are on that next rung down, and that next rung down would be where Denver is. Not impossible, but I wouldn't bet on them, and I watch them every night.
Well, here's my 48-minute snap. Well, no, they played 53 minutes. Here's my 53-minute snapshot of the Nuggets
good.
And the Thunder. First of all, I wanted to see the Thunder and why they were 41-24, even without all the guys that they used to have. And honestly, I haven't locked in on Oklahoma City for a while. But Chris Paul is still there. Kind of forgotten that. Let's see. I felt terrible for Steven Adams. I'll tell you why here in a minute. But for your guys, Michael Porter and Nikola Jokic, this is the part of the importance of having a creative head coach. And Mike Malone's your coach, right? That his name?
Yes, he is. Great dude.
Okay. Well, Nikola Jokic, who is 7 feet five or however the hell big he is, basically brought the ball up whenever they felt that it was important. And that was a lot of the
point
time
center.
Yesterday. Yes. So there was not a damn thing that Steven Adams, the guy that was defending him, could do about it. And unless he just waited at the keyhole for Jokic to get there, and then Jokic would just make the decision on what to do on the offense. He had 30 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, only 4 turnovers. There are a couple of shots that he took. There was no way Steven Adams could be asked to guard him.
No.
And
no.
Yet over and over, that was the matchup that Malone went to, short of Michael Porter Jr.'s career game. I don't know how often he goes 12 for 16, but he was lights out, 37 points.
Not very.
Well, whatever.
4 of 11 the previous game.
Well, he saved his best for me then. So, and he played 44 minutes. But this is a perfect example of, don't want to get too geeky on you here, but once the playoffs start, or once you get close to the playoffs, you got Mike Malone in drawing up plays where his best players affect the outcome of every single possession versus the team that they're playing against is saying, no, that's not going to happen in this game. You guys are going to have to figure something else out to beat us. And that's where the best coaches in the league reside. And that's why, you know, and Jimmy's and Joe's have a lot to do with it. I get it. But if you only got two guys, and it doesn't look like you guys have much of a bench, or you didn't yesterday, but if it's Jokic and Porter, then when the rubber hits the road, it's going to be Paul Millsap instead, it's going to be Monty Morris instead, and it's not going to be those two guys. And that's for people that aren't really enamored with the NBA, you pick out two of the best players on a particular team and just watch the X's and O's and how coaches try to keep the ball out. And Jokic is a freak. He's way different than a lot of other players in the NBA. But once the games really matter, I'll be interested to see how not only coaches defend the Nuggets, but coaches defend teams that really only have one or two guys, and they carry them every step of the way.
I would say that the Nuggets only have two guys, even though one of them was missing yesterday, and that's Jamal Murray. He and Gary Harris and Will Barton, who are three regulars, all missed with injuries and have yet to play down there. So, but here's the thing about Nikola Jokic. You're right. And the reason that the Nuggets are a tough out, even though I don't think they're a champion, I don't think they have championship medal. Their championship medal has to do more with their toughness than it does their talent. Mm-hmm. But the problem, if Nikola Jokic is hitting 3-point shots, and he didn't yesterday, I don't think he made one. But if he's hitting 3-point shots, he's almost indefensible.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you do, because he's so good on the perimeter. He's such a good passer from the perimeter. He's very good on the pick and roll game with Jamal Murray in particular. And not to get too much into the minutia of it, but they're an intriguing team from that standpoint, and especially if Porter Jr. is doing what he did. But he won't, because he won't get the volume of shots. When Jamal Murray is back in the lineup, a lot of shots go his way.
Okay.
And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Jokic is a unicorn. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're playing him in the playoffs or whether you're playing him in the regular season, just because he does freakish things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's as good a passer as I've seen since, I'm trying to think of a really good Bill Walton.
He was pretty good.
Don't laugh at me.
No,
don't
I'm
laugh
not.
At me. I mean, the dude can really pass the basketball. And the fact that he can score and rebound goes without saying.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Sabonis was a really good passer.
Since we're talking
about
tall Euro passers, yes. How about Sabonis?
Yes. That's a great comp. Yeah. Really good comp. And that goes back a ways, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and he
it's
reminds
been a
me
while.
Of Kristaps, although he's even taller than Jokic, I think, and Doncic, the two guys from the Mavericks.
Yeah.
The guys that just they ask so much of those guys, but they're so hard to guard and so skilled for as big as they are. Jokic hit one keyhole jump shot that it was just an afterthought, that like he took one dribble and jumped off of 1 foot. Like a Dirk.
Yeah.
And Stephen Adams.
He does that.
Bless Stephen Adams' little heart. There was nothing he could do. And he had
to
guard him over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Just waiting for him at the top of the key. Like, oh, God, here we go. Here it comes.
Yeah.
He could not stop him. And I was impressed. I was entertained.
Good.
That was a good basketball game to watch. And the Nuggets won it in overtime, 121-113. Okay. Coming up next, a little golf talk. It's PGA Championship week. Plus, we can kind of feather in some Big 12 football schedule talk. How about that?
Sure.
Whichever floats our boat, we can cover that in the next segment. Plus, Nolan Ryan got 6 hits on this day in sports history, but they're not the ones that you think. It'll become a lot clearer when we get there. And OTD is coming up in about 20 minutes, but a little PGA no-show talk, and the Big 12 has finally spoken when it comes to football. That's coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.